Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome. Thank you. This is my first time here. My name is Ray. Nice to meet you guys, and I'll be leading worship with these beautiful ladies over here. If you guys want to stand with me, you can. If you want to remain seated, you can too. I'm just all about freedom in worship, and the way that we give our hearts looks so different for each person, but make sure that it's for Him at the end of the day. Like, who are we here for, you know? So we'll jump right in.
Lord, sing it out, holy. fill the atmosphere, your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Your presence. More aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness.
Let us become more aware of your presence.
Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. This place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence. Thank you.
mountain.
This island, exalted one, Jesus.
Sing it again, Jesus.
Jesus. To my feet.
Honey, on my
spoken, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. Been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Self-aware. Christ, love of God.
Holy,
overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down first till I'm found, leaves the 99. And I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. echoes around me. Song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring.
It's all for you.
Oh, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
Son of Jesus, Jesus.
Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you.
Thank you. shaken. We will not be shaken. We will not be shaken. For we trust in our God. For we trust in our God. And through His unfailing love, we will not be shaken. We will not be shaken. We will not be shaken. For we trust in our God. And through His unfailing love, we will not be shaken. We will not be shaken. We will not be shaken.
Sing with me, holy.
Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me. Who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Just beautiful. God will leave the 99 to come and seek after us. Sometimes we feel alone or abandoned. He never gives up. He never stops. He seeks us out. We go through life, we're doing well, and then there's times we feel discouraged. But He is God, and He loves us. I love that part so much. Okay, with that, we are going to dismiss the children. Thank you so much for the folks that work with the youth. We sure appreciate that. God is so good. All right, if we can have our folks from...
So, good morning, church. Good morning. Before we begin, I want to say thank you. Thank you for the veterans for protecting our country. Thank you for the first responders. I want to call that out. I know that you guys put your life ahead of us, and so thank you for that. I also want to thank the cloud of witnesses that continue to cheer us on, right?
Yes.
To fight the good fight, right? So thank you. And I want to thank, and I'm a big proponent of this, I want to thank the wives, the moms, the daughters, the aunts, just because I know that dealing with this men sometimes is somewhat difficult, right? And if you're like me, you know, thank you so much. My wife couldn't make it today. We just came back from a long trip overseas, and she's not feeling well, so please, I ask you for her, your prayers for her. And I also want to thank, of course, the Almighty Father, right? Thank you, Lord, for deeming me to be a clean vessel to deliver your word today, Lord. Thank you so much for that. And I also want to pray for Israel and what's going on in that region, right? Lord, I want to thank you that I know that your hand is working in that. Your hand is working in that. We know it. We're fully confident of that, right? Lord, do away with the evil that's over there. Do away with the evil that's over there. And I pray that that healing is happening, especially for all the innocent lives that are being taken, all the death that's happening, Lord. And I ask you that you do away with the evil that's happening. Okay. So I want to open us up in prayer, and I ask that you just take a deep breath, right? You know, God, breathe the spirit of life into humanity. And I don't know about you, but the worship team was amazing today, right? Weren't they? In addition to hearing the little girl singing, wow. Isn't that amazing? And the vision came to me that the reality of it is that we're all children in God's kingdom. Right? Isn't that a beautiful thing? So let's open up in prayer. Lord, I want to thank you. I know that I mentioned this already. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak your word today, for deeming me a clean vessel, Lord. Thank you for just another beautiful day. You never fail. And I also want to pray for hearts to be open today, Lord, for minds to be open, to ears to be open to my message, and that if there's any encouraging folks that need encouraging here, that I hope that my message speaks to them, that they are filled with the Holy Spirit, the joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, of which there is no law against that. And we know that because that's what the Bible tells us. Amen? So I ask that in that message, if anyone needs healing in my message today, that you give that to them. Okay. And thank you, Lord, for just bringing us here today and for keeping us safe. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Freddie. I do the Wednesday night study group, and over the last 2 weeks, actually over the last 2 months, I've been, you know, busy, and like we all are, right? Life's pressures. And I've been blessed to have a change in position in my job that kind of, you know, came to the realization that I still have a lot of learning to do, right? And in that, I'm also blessed with the fact that, you know, last year I did well at my job, and my company sponsored a trip for me, right? And in that trip, it was a really nice trip. It was a trip to Dublin, Ireland, and, you know, my wife and I took advantage of the trip, and we went to Paris, and in that, there's a lot of planning. There's a lot of planning. Can you turn on the first slide, Matt? In that, there's a lot of preparation, and I want to start off this way just because I'm going to get to this point, the point of my message. There's a lot of planning, as we started getting closer to the date of the trip, right? I felt the anxiety kick in, right? Felt the anxiety kick in. And then, of course, with the pressure of my job. And so a lot of stuff going on. And if you're like me, you know, you're probably a control freak, you know, right? We'll talk about that, right? So at work, what I did, I'm going to walk you through this. I sent out emails and notifications to all my customers. I looked at all the opportunities that I had within my job. And I made sure that every single thing was covered. That's just the way I'm wired, right? I double-checked and triple-checked my flights and my room accommodations, and I still did it like 5 times, knowing that, you know, hey, I'm going overseas. I want to make sure that we get there, and I'm going to have a roof over my head, right? Next slide. So, again, double-check passports. Make sure they weren't expired. Discuss who was going to take us to the airport, right? So I got to the point to where I began to get so detailed. And by the way, and I told my wife I'd give her credit, she probably did about 95% of these things. And I only did 5%, right? So next slide. Got our finances straight, you know, PODs paid on debts, beneficiaries, cars, credit cards, informed the Wednesday night Bible study, right? And thank you for your prayers. I made it back safe. Thank you. I arranged the bills to be paid, or Melissa did, my wife, my bride. Next slide. I notified and prepared the elders in our family. Some of them depend on us for health care, right? And we take care of them. So I notified them. We discussed schools and schedules, ironed out dinner schedules. So we got all this stuff going on, right? Prior to us leaving. So the anxiety's kicking in. You know, I'm kind of a little stressed out. And next slide. And of course, who's going to take care of these guys? Right? Little furry little friends. There's something else. A gift from God, right? Just a true blessing, right? So I worry about this guy right here, the guy with you know, his tongue sticking out, because he's kind of like the runt. So Rocco is the one on the right, and Champ is the one on the left. And so Rocco's naturally a little bigger, and he kind of takes advantage of him, steals his food, so on and so forth, right? So who's going to take care of these guys? So I guess the point that I'm trying to drive and I'm trying to make, that in this process and reflecting on everything, you know, I realized how blessed I am. I realized that, these are all great things to have, and how God is taking care of me, right? And how he's taking care of me through thick and thin. And he's also helped me make some good decisions in my life that, you know, are obviously, you know, presenting themselves. But you know what it also showed me? It also showed me the things that I hold on to. Right? The things that I hold on to tight. And it also showed me that I still try to control things. Right? And I had a reality check. And God just works in amazing ways, doesn't he? I had a reality check. He showed me the things that I value in life. Now, one would say, Freddie, yeah, that list is very important. You got to make sure that you take care of your kids and your family when you're gone, right? That's important. I'm not saying that they're not. But preparation, and I learned this yesterday, preparation and paranoia are two different things. Right? So you're prepared. It's good to be prepared. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that we're to be prudent. Right? But God is a light to our footsteps and he directs our paths. So, needless to say, you know, it revealed to me that, you know, there's certain things in my life that I'm continuing to hold on to, that I'm continuing to take control over. So I ask you to think about that. And you first responders probably know this, because you put your life on the line every day. If there was a chance that you wouldn't come home, what would your list look like? What would your slides look like? What are you holding on to? What is that? And chances are, church, that those are probably the things that God wants most more of us, from us. Those are things that he's asking and he's looking to get a little bit more from you. I'm not making this stuff up. And we need to let him in. So in preparation of this sermon, in the last couple of weeks, And I realize, and I continue to realize, that I still wrestle with my faith. I still wrestle with my faith and my trust. And that's okay. That's okay. And that's my message today, is that Jesus gets us. He understands us. He understands us. And we got to stop beating ourselves up when we have these things going on and we're holding on. We're not in a perfect world, and we're not perfect in this world. But we're perfect in God's sight.
Amen.
Right? We're perfect in God's sight through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And I'm reminded that walking with Christ is a process. We're being made holy every day. Right? Sanctification is a process. We're being made more in His image every day. And I know that because the Bible tells me that. The Bible tells me that. So I want to turn to Philippians 1, 4 through 6, for those of you that have their Bible. Is it Paul's Thanksgiving prayer? Letter to the Philippi church. And it says, "Every time I think of you, I give thanks to God. Whenever I pray, I make my request for all of you with joy. For you have been partners in the spreading of the good news about Christ from the time you first heard until now. And I am certain," Paul's saying this, "I am certain that God, who began a good work within you, will continue His work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." Amen. Right? I'm going to turn to Hebrews 10, 1 through 14. And this is Christ's sacrifice once and for all. Paul is talking about how Jesus was paid the ultimate price once and for all. No more sacrifices to be done. "Under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. But our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down in a place of honor in God's right hand. There he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. For by the one offering, he forever made perfect those who were being made holy." Amen, right? "And the Holy Spirit also testifies that this is so. For he says, 'This is a new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will make my laws in their hearts, and I will write them in their minds.' Then he says, 'I will never remember their sins, lawless deeds.' And when sins have been forgiven, there's no need to offer any more sacrifices." Thank God for Jesus Christ. Right? So I want to read the commentary, because I think the commentary really just drives the point. When we have been made perfect, yet we are being made holy through the death and resurrection. Christ once and for all made his believers perfect in God's sight. At the same time, he is making them holy, progressively cleansed and set apart for his special use in the daily pilgrimage here. We should not be surprised, ashamed, or shocked that we still need to grow. Right? So Jesus gets us. He knows the things that we still hold on to tightly. He understands. So, before I go on to the next slide, you know, the Holy Spirit prays for us in ways that we don't know. We can't quite understand. He knows what we need. Amen, right? So in these next couple of slides, if I'm speaking to you, I ask you in prayer, in supplication, you put that on the mantle. Put that on the mantle today. Okay? All right, next slide. So I did some research and, you know, I started praying. And what are some of the things that we hold on to? What are some of the things that we try to take control over on a day-to-day basis in our lives across the board? Relationships. We hold on to relationships we know aren't good for us. I've been in healthy and seen unhealthy relationships deep down. They're not healthy, and our own insecurities keep us from letting go. We see the short-term pain rather than the long-term gain. Right? We know that. But yet, it's our own insecurities that keep us from moving on. And Jesus knows that too. It's okay not to be okay. Circumstances. How many of us have ever been, how many of us here have taken something to Jesus and say, Lord, I give it up to you. I surrender. Yet to just pick it back up and take it with us again. Right? And we clearly say, Lord, I surrender this circumstance to you. And we intensively begin to plan how things are going to work out. And then we play it in our head as to how the conversations are going to go. Man, I'm not the only one, right? Come on, help me out here, right? And we're looking at it saying, all right, and like, and you know, and we're thinking, we're, you know, hey, take it back from him. It's okay. Okay. The new. You know, we don't, you know, sometimes we want to be able to have things change in our lives, but yet we're not willing to try out the new. Or we're not, you know, let's go ahead and keep on doing the way we're doing things because it just works so well, right? But little do we know that there's blessings behind the new and there's growth behind the new, right? And we got to grow. We got to continue to grow in our faith. Next slide, please. Sometimes we hold on to God's blessings just a little too long, right? Amen. Right? We hold on to that blessing just a little too long. We want to stay there. And that sometimes causes us, or at least to me, it causes us to lose sight of the blessing behind the blessing. Right? I mean, how many of us have been in a situation at work where we find ourselves complaining at work? Right? We complain when the blessing behind the blessing is that we have a job. Right? So we grow numb to God's grace. We need to slow down, take a deep breath, and see behind that. Next slide. There was one there before that I think it's also worth talking about. Is the season in our spiritual life. You know, our spiritual life goes through seasons. And sometimes what we try to do is we try to accelerate them. Right? If you don't yield to God's will, then we may end up missing what we need to learn from him. So we need to slow down, be cognizant and recognize the season. And likewise, kind of parallel to the blessing, know when it's time to move on. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, because it isn't easy. What comes after the harvest season? Winter. Right? Do we conscientiously think about that? Should we? Okay. Health. I just turned 50. I gotta say, I'm afraid of. You know what I'm talking about, right? I'm afraid of the procedure. Okay? I'm not gonna lie, I'm afraid. And I haven't even made a doctor's appointment. But in my weird way, I've come up with something that is just outlandish, right? I'm already like, okay. But anyways, if I'm speaking to you, you need to make that doctor's appointment. It's okay, you can. Other people. Well, I mean, I could write a whole laundry list about other people, right? We hold on to people, we hold on to things. There's certain folks in our family, and if you don't have that certain person in that family that annoys you, you're probably the annoyance. Okay? So we can't change people. That's just the reality of it. We can't. You know, and for me, it's, you know, I want to share Christ with all of my family. All of them. You know, and that's a pain that I have. Because as much as I try, and I've learned throughout my walk with Christ, it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit. Right? I can't change people. Now, what I can change is how I respond to them. And that's with love, forgiveness, forbearance, long-suffering, all the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Is this any of this ringing here? Right? Okay. The worldly outlook. Again, that's just another example. You know, the news comes at you fast and hard, right? It's happening in Israel. All the stuff that's happening. The only thing we can do is pray. It's the only thing we can do. But we hold on to that, right? Our views on it. We can't control it. Then our kids and grandkids. And I put that up there because, you know, I was, my kid is 14 years old. You know, I went through a season where he was a little guy. And I couldn't bear anything happen to him. I was like a helicopter parent. Took him to school, and you guys heard of the helicopter parent thing? Yeah. I was always around him. I wanted to, you know, just be around him, make sure that everything was okay. And again, there's nothing wrong with that, right? But at the same time, it's not healthy. You know, we need to let our kids kind of learn. And it kind of goes for our adult kids too. Oh my goodness, and even us. Right? There are so many worldly pressures that cause us to wrestle with our faith. Because that's really what it is. We're wrestling with faith and trust. And I want to encourage you that you're in good company. We're all in good company. And Jesus gets us. He understands. So don't beat yourself up. Next slide, please. So I'm going to share this with you because I started to think, right? And we always go here for answers. Amen for this, right? We go here for answers. So I started to think, all right, what characters in the Bible actually struggled and wrestled with their faith. And here are some examples. So saints, guess what? We're in good company. We're in good company, man. And that's a cool thing. Right? So John the Baptist. And I'll go through two of the characters that went through that wrestled with their faith. And I want to jump into scripture really fast just because I think it's important just to articulate this. So John 1:29-34, 3 and 4 here. And we'll go through that really fast. I want to drive the point that Jesus gets us, okay? So John the Baptist proclaims that Jesus is the Messiah. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one I was talking about when I said, 'A man is coming after me who is far greater than I am. For he existed long before me. I did not recognize him as a Messiah, but I have been baptizing with water so he might be revealed to Israel.' Then John testified, 'I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and resting upon him. I didn't know he was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, The one on whom you see the Spirit descend and rest, and the one who will is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I saw this happen to Jesus, so I testified he was the chosen one of God." So John had an experience. He actually baptized Jesus, right? So now let's go to Matthew 11, 1 through 6. Just number 4. Here it is. So Jesus teaches about the kingdom. Jesus eases John's doubt. When Jesus had finished giving these instructions to the 12 disciples, he went out to teach and preach in towns throughout the region. John the Baptist, who was in prison, so John was in prison, okay, heard about all the things that the Messiah was doing, so he sent his disciples to ask, "Are you the Messiah we've been expecting?" Isn't that something? So what's John the Baptist doing there? And he's wrestling. He's like, "Jesus, I'm in jail, man. I want to further your kingdom. I'm in jail. But hold on. Are you really the Messiah?" Right? Now, add some context. The Hebrew and the Israelite people at the time expected to see a king that was a warrior king, right? So we're not alone. Jesus gets us. We're not alone. Okay? So the next one is Simon Peter. Matthew 5:12-17. Jesus asks, "Who do you say I am?" And what does Peter say? "You're the Messiah." Right? And Jesus goes on to tell him, "Yeah, well, you got a revelation from the Father." Yes. Well, we know what happened with Peter. In Matthew 14:16-72, what did Peter do? He denied him 3 times. You guys staying with me here? Okay, good. So Thomas, he was given the name the Doubting Thomas, right? Because he wrestled with the truth that Jesus rose from the dead. So here's the interesting part of it, was that Jesus actually appeared to the 11 disciples and then appeared again to Thomas. So as far as to the fact that actually Jesus stuck his hands out and he felt the holes in his hands. Jesus gets us. He understands us. We wrestle with our faith. Then, of course, Moses. We all understand Moses' story. Moses was told by God, I'm gonna ask you to lead my people out of Egypt. So Moses was actually rejected by the Hebrew people and wanted because he had killed an Egyptian. So Moses goes out into the wilderness. He encounters the burning bush. And he's given instruction by God. And he says, who, me? Am I going to take the Israelites out of Egypt? I can't do that. I got my own people that hate me. And I'm wanted because I killed an Egyptian. I can't do that. And he goes on to say, I have a speech impediment. And guess what God does? He gives him Aaron, his brother. Nothing's impossible with God. Right? And of course, Martha and Mary. You know, when I did the research, gosh, it just kind of, everything just kind of made sense and was put together. That we're not the only ones that fight with that. So Martha and Mary, their brother died. Lazarus, right? And when Jesus came back into, well, Jesus was out of town, right? He came back into town and they said, Jesus, if you were only here, he would have been alive. And Jesus wept with them. He cried and wept. He was human. But at the time, it hadn't been revealed that Jesus was above death. And what did he do? Brought him back to life. Jesus gets us. He understands us. Then, of course, Jeremiah was another. Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah told him, Abraham and Sarah were told by God that they would be given a child at the age of 75. Promise was given to them 7 times, and then the 6th time, God told them, they actually laughed. Abraham actually laughed and fell on his face. And you know what God said? Well, his name is going to be called Isaac. And you know what Isaac stands for? Laughter. Nothing is impossible with him, right? Abraham is an example that if we keep wrestling, we could win. Amen? And know that we're not alone. We're not alone in this struggle. Next slide, please. You know who also wrestled? Jesus. And ask you to turn to Matthew 26, 36 through 43. Jesus agonizes in the Garden of Gethsemane. Then Jesus went with them to the olive grove and called Gethsemane. And he said, sit here while I go over and pray. He took Peter, Zebedee's 2 sons, James and John, and became anguished and distressed. He told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. He went on a little further and bowed his face down to the ground. My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet, I want your will to be done. Jesus knew he was going to die. And he asked the Father, if you can make this go away, make it go away. But he knew that his mission, what his mission was, and he stayed the course. Mark 14, 35 through 39. He went on a little farther and fell to the ground. He prayed that if it were possible, the awful hour waiting might pass by him. And he says, Abba, Father, Dad, he cried out, everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done for me. And I felt the need to put up the three here so we draw parallels to the different books. Luke 39-44. Then, accompanied by the disciples, Jesus left upstairs room and went as usual to the Mount of Olives. There he told them, pray that you will not give into temptation. He walked away about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. You know, Matthew 27:46. I draw to this verse because Jesus had suffered a prisoner's death. You know, he was whipped and beaten, right? He was crucified. And it was a sad, sad day. He was probably cold, drowning in his own blood and liquid in his lungs. He reaches out to his father. He says, why have you forsaken? Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? So, Fred, I want to thank you for this, for calling me. Because as much as I needed to hear this message and give it, I needed it for myself. Right? And if I'm speaking to you here today, and you know, if there's something that you're holding on to, and you just feel like you just can't, and you continue to hold on to it and you can't let it go, that's okay, man. Don't be so hard on yourself because Jesus understands. And you're in great company. Amen, right? Amen. So, I do want to say that there is a process of repentance too, right? We got to give it up to him and say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. I know that I continue to pick this back up. He already knows that. He already knows that. Everything is filtered through him. Good, bad, or indifferent. Everything is filtered through him, and he knows that, and he loves you. So those are the encouraging words that I want to leave you with today, that Jesus understands you and he gets you. And don't be so hard on yourself. We've got a great church community here. Get involved. Get in a men's group or women's group. Get in a Bible study group. That's why we're here. We're not alone. And you're not alone. And Jesus understands. So,
So I want to praise God for getting real personal with us. Kind of gets awfully close to our hearts, doesn't it? So with that, I want to ensure that God is with us all the time. If there's any question or any confusion that comes in, go back to His Word. Give one of your brothers and sisters a call, and we'll work our way through it together. So I thank you for your boldness for Christ. So go out and be Jesus to this world. Even if you're not perfect, just go out and be Jesus to this world. Heavenly Father, I thank you for our body. I thank you for our believers, Lord, that you have moved in their hearts to bring them here. You have moved to bring this body together. Let us continue to pray for the events of the world, but let us focus on what you want us to do personally. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen.